Hi, Trina. Is that line any better?
Dermot, we're off to a bad start. Before you even say hello to you, you're hanging up on me.
I know.
I get the hint. Don't worry.
I'll be nicer from now on.
It's lovely talking to you. I get the hint. Bye now. Okay. Saturday morning, how are you? It is Trina Mara. He is the rock star of rockeries. Mr. Dermot Gavin is on the line. Hello, Dermot. How are you?
I don't know. I think you can say now, Trina, that I'm the crooner. I think I've gone past the rock star.
Okay. So something nice and mellow.
I'm more the Daniel O'Donnell, don't we think?
It's too tiring, isn't it, to be a rock star? I wouldn't be. I was only saying, I went up on a press trip to see the script in Belfast there. And I mean, I literally was brought from my front door to the place and brought back. And I was absolutely exhausted the next day. Not able anymore.
I know, but actually, isn't the rap we're all meant to be now? Because they're the ones, didn't you two say, they're the ones driving the big cars.
So
if you want to introduce me again as the rap star of the garden.
Okay, the rap star of the garden world.
Dermot, don't ask me to rap.
No. Dermot, I was asked if I'd prefer to talk to you on the phone, on Zoom or in person. And I actually said in person in my back garden. So where are you?
Where's your garden? I've obviously come to the wrong house.
You must have come to the wrong. Do you know, I spent the weekend on Sunday. My back is killing me. 8 black sacks of weeds. And I was just thinking to myself, sure, it's grand. Dermot will cover the rest of them. And there's no sign of you.
Listen, wasn't it exhilarating, though? Isn't it great when you go out into the garden for the weekend, do any sort of work, whether it's digging, planting, sowing seeds, whatever it is, or weeding, or just watering, you do forget about everything else that's going on, don't you?
Yeah, but then when that night when you go to bed and your back is killing you, you remember it all again. And the thing is with me, now you're going to have to give me tips today, Dermot. When I start doing the garden, right, I'm on full steam ahead, like I want to get it done. And then I get really tired. How do you do it? Like, I'm sure it's back-breaking stuff.
It is, and when I'm doing my own garden, so if I'm doing a garden for somebody, if I'm planting up a garden, it can be quite intense. And you've a lot to achieve maybe in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. So that's full on. In my own garden, what I do is I exhaust myself after the first hour. And then I go in and I lie down for 10 minutes or I have a cup of tea or something like that. And I just wander out again. And after 10 minutes, I'm refreshed. And I just, even though it's my job, I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I love getting out there. Like, it was hard to get me in last night. I was out getting the garden ready for something that's happening tomorrow, and I loved every moment of it. I planted up about 20 pots. I was pruning. I was taking up a few weeds. I don't believe in weeding too carefully now anymore, because I think gardens should be a little bit rough around the edges, but I loved everything.
Well, do you know, if I was to send you a photograph, which I have on my phone, because I like to take the photographs, you know, the before and after, so that I feel like I've achieved something. The weeds were up to my knees. I'm not even joking. For something like that, have you got any tips how to eradicate them without actually killing everything?
You won't like the tip that I have. Let them grow. Part of my garden is just wild. And if you do let weeds grow, you're leaving habitats. Now, not everywhere. And, you know, the entrance to the house should be tidy and the main areas that you're looking at. But we do pressurize ourselves to have an absolutely perfect garden. And that's not the way the natural world is. And we're all hopefully going towards the natural world. So letting plants grow, even grasses grow, even part of the lawn grow the way they want to grow, they will produce flower. The flower will have pollen in it, and you'll be bringing in the bees, and even at nighttime you'll be bringing in moths and all sorts of wildlife to the garden. And we need that. So gardening for not only our own pleasure, but the bigger ecosystem is more and more important.
Yeah.
So forgive yourself.
Okay. So when the Residents Association, knock on my door, I'm going to say, come here to me. Dermot Gavin said that I was to do this. This is professional advice.
Do you know what? give them my number, send them to me, because I'll tell them exactly the same, and you shall be held up as a beacon of hope in where you live.
Yeah, yep. See, though, I knew there was a reason why I just abandoned it, so I won't bother doing the rest. The bags can wait. Listen to me, for someone like me, who is really, really, really trying in the last while to create a nice garden, what would you say are the best plants for somebody who doesn't necessarily have a lot of time to maintain a garden, or for someone who's a bit of a newcomer? I have a bit of a concrete jungle that I don't want it to be like that.
Well, first of all, get to know your site and situation. Get to know what your soil is like. A tree is hugely important for any garden, because a tree will sustain any amount of other kind of life forms. Something like a birch tree is so easy and so beautiful all year round. So it has new foliage just coming out now. Dappled light comes through that, but you have that beautiful silver bark right through the year. If you want privacy in a small garden in an urban situation, I would go for an evergreen like an acacia, Acacia dalbata, which is a mimosa, and they're full of light ferny foliage, and in late January into February they have the most beautiful flower, beautiful kind of Hawaiian yellow, cheerful looking flower, and they grow incredibly fast. So they provide that privacy for you. The other plant that I'd always put in is lavender. So open, sunny position, even if the soil isn't great, lavender is going to grow. Or wildflower seeds. So whether they're native or not, wildflower seeds have been sprinkled around on poor ground in a sunny place. In 6 to 8 weeks, they'll be in flower and they'll bring the butterflies into the garden. So any of those are good options.
And come here, do you have to dig down for them, or can you just sprinkle them?
You have to dig down a little bit. You have to take away any of the perennial weeds. You have to take away grass. So if it's in a bit of the lawn area, just shave off the top kind of 2 or 3 centimetres of grass and turf. Then rake it over just with a rake and sprinkle the seed on top. You might want to rake that again, or just lightly stand over the area, just press them into the soil, water them, and then nature will take its course. And okay. As I say, you will be astonished what happens, what nature does, almost immediately.
And will most plants and flowers now, will they survive in pots, or do they need to be planted in the ground?
Loads of plants will do very well in pots and containers. What you need to take into account, a few things really, that number one, you've got drainage, so that there are drainage holes and maybe some stones, some shingle in the bottom of the pot so that excess water can drain away. That's number one. Number two, a really good growing medium, really, really good peat-free compost, maybe with some, well-rotted farmyard manure added to it, especially if you're putting things like trees or heavy feeders like roses into the pots, because they're going to be there a long time and they'll need the resource of whatever is in that compost to keep them going. And the most important thing after that is watering. Remember, you might be going away for a week or two during the summer, and if that's the time of year that will dry out. If they're not on a regular, if you're not watering them yourself, if you don't have a simple irrigation system installed, or if you don't have a neighbor or friend watering, that's where it'll all fall down. So the preparation is all about success with pots and containers. But you can virtually grow everything. Full fruit and vegetable gardens can be grown from containers, or lovely ornamental gardens.
Dermot, can I tell you, there's a bush of peony roses, right, in my grandmother's front garden, her old house. Now, she died 21 years ago. So I think these were planted literally about 50 years ago. And since then, they're just outside the front door. And since then, the garden had been gravelled in, for a driveway and everything. They come through every single year without fail, nothing done to them.
Isn't it brilliant? So some plants just like, they adapt to the environment they're put in. So your granny obviously loved them, planted them, they were happy, and they had everything that they needed. They were nice and sheltered when the flowers were coming out, so they weren't, being bashed all around the place. So they found their perfect position. In the autumn, if you wanted, you could dig up a clump of that root, transfer it to your own garden. And wouldn't that be lovely to have your granny?
Yeah. Well, I did try. I hear these terms about taking cuttings. You see, this is to show you how I know so little about gardening. And I went down, you're going to laugh at me, I cut a bit of the flower and I stuck that into a pot at home thinking that was going to work. And then I realised, no, it's the root that you need.
in that particular case, it won't work. But propagation is very easy. Now, the best propagation when it comes to peony roses would be to divide them in autumn or in the middle of winter. Other plants, you know, lavender plants, rosemary, anything like that, so easy to do from cuttings. Unbelievable. Or even if you want a houseplant, the stone from an avocado will grow into a houseplant. If you take out the stone from the flesh, clean it off, stick three matchsticks around it, suspend it over water, so a little tiny glass of water, the matchsticks that are keeping it just suspended in the water, and roots will grow, and then a shoot will grow, and after a couple of months you can pop that up, and that makes it lovely. Yeah, the natural world is amazing.
Yeah. Have you a tip then for getting a cutting then of a plant? So do you have to do it in a certain spot along the stem, or where do you do it?
Depending on the type of plant. First of all, go onto my Instagram, because often we show people how to take cuttings. You can take softwood cuttings. So in the middle of winter, you take hardwood cuttings, generally from shrubs or things like roses. At the moment, you take softwood cuttings. You take a length of about a pencil length worth of material, sharp cut at the end, clear most of the leaves, and just stick them in a pot of compost, but at the edge of the pot where it's a little bit drier, and they will root. You can put a plastic bag over them, water them, put a plastic bag over them to make a mini greenhouse condition, and they should strike.
Okay. Now, another question for you. Is it normal for hanging basket flowers to die very quickly? Because mine just keep on dying. What am I doing wrong?
Lack of water.
I'm watering them every day.
Oh, well, that shouldn't be an issue then. Most of the plants that go into hanging baskets, number one, people are planting them up at this time of the year because we're just over the frost season. So from now on, we should be completely frost-free until September into October. A lot of the plants that are used in the hanging baskets will be annuals, or, you know, plants that you sow the seed and they produce their flower in the same year and then they die off. So maybe it's because they're annual plants. Maybe it's because you put them up during the summer and then they're hit by the first frost. So most of the plants we use in hanging baskets won't be planned to last beyond the summer season.
All right. Well, at least I know. Not the only one.
No, you're certainly not the only one. And we want that big brash colour from things like begonias and petunias. But they're all designed just to grow for one or two seasons. And then the frosts will get them. But really important, again, that they're watered. Because if you're raising any plant up out of the ground, it's going to be a little bit windy up there.
Yeah.
And they dry out so fast. So sometimes during the summer, you can water hanging baskets twice in a day.
Okay, now, Dermot, you have something to plug. Tell me all about the big rewild happening with Innocent Drinks. What's going on and what can we do?
Well, this is really brilliant because Innocent have committed to going carbon neutral by 2025. As part of that, what they're doing in this country is planting 10,000 trees. 10,000 trees in places, spots around the country, 10,000 trees that will grow here. Actually, I've just met the two lads who are planting them, and they're absolutely amazing. They're so on it. They're two firemen this is a kind of a passionate job for them, to look after their kids and their grandkids and whatever. So Innocent are doing this big rewilding. They're doing a hike that we can all go on in Wicklow on July the 2nd. If you just look at the Innocent social pages for details of where that's going to be. And through that hike, we will learn all about what trees are growing, why they're being planted, and why it's so important to look after our natural environment. And indeed, all the things we've talked about this morning, Trina, will be talked about then.
And come here to me. Is there any chance, seeing as you didn't turn up to my back garden, you could send the two firefighters around? Because they sound nice and strong now.
Yeah, they're nice and strong and just a little bit hunky. So I think, Trina, you'd be very pleased. If
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the firefighters, yeah.
maybe just send some smoke signals up.
Final question for you. Do you know, if you were to spot now Charlie Dimmock or, you know, Alan Titchmarsh in the garden centre, and you were both after the one plant and there was only one left, who would win?
Yeah, I'd win, of course, because I play deviously.
He'd distract them, say there's something on fire.
Yeah, well, they'd just argue with themselves, with each other all the time, and I'd sneak in and grab the plant.
Listen, you're a legend. Thank you very much. The rock star. The rock star, or the crooner, that is Dermot Gavin. You'll need to have a sit down now after that. Thanks, Dermot.
Thanks, Trina.
See you soon. Bye. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.